Well, hey everybody, welcome to our online service. We are so glad that you've decided to make the online service of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church a part of your day whenever you're watching it. Hey, my name is Josh Erickson and I'm one of the pastors, and I'm so excited to bring you today's online service. So today we're going to talk about this harsh reality that we believe that God makes certain promises that God doesn't actually make. There are certain promises we attribute to God that God does not actually make, and then we believe God should follow through on these promises that God doesn't make. And that really leaves us in a really tough spot. And that's a spot that we don't want to be in. So we're going to take a look at what this means and what we can do about this. So what happens in our lives and in the way we believe about God is sometimes we have inaccurate or unhelpful beliefs about who God is and how God acts in the world. And in particular, what happens is that we think God makes certain promises that God never makes. And then we think God is going to follow through on these promises that God hasn't made. And then we get upset with God for who God is when God isn't faithful to these promises that God hasn't made. I hope you're tracking with me on this because it's a little complicated, but I think we've all been there. So what happens is we think God is supposed to act a certain way because God has made promises that God hasn't made, and then we get upset, and then we start to believe in God. But what is actually happening is we are stopping our belief in a God that doesn't exist. So, I'll give you an example. You might think that if you pray a certain way, and if you pray faithfully, and you use the right words, you can get God to do something for you. God doesn't work like that. We can't get God to do anything. And that's a good thing because it means we can't stop God from doing things or getting God to do things either. So when we think about God in this way, what is happening is we think about God as a divine guidance counselor or a cosmic butler or a genie in a bottle of sorts. And other people have come up with this description, but where this comes from is a sense of God as the one who is just here to meet our needs, or rather, that if we do the right things, if we believe in the right way, God is going to bless us with material wealth, with power or influence in our world today, or better yet, even economic wealth that we think God has promised us. But the reality is, this is not what God has promised. God has not promised us prosperity as a reaction to how we live and how we act or how we believe. Now, this particular problem, this particular false promise that God will bless us in this way, as Pastor Amanda introduced last week, is called the prosperity gospel. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, I don't believe that God blesses us in this way, but I certainly seem to have this sense of this in my life. Or maybe you think, well, my church, this church, doesn't teach a prosperity gospel. We teach about that God wants us to prosper, but not as a quid pro quo for the way we act. And the reason that many of us have this belief is that actually this is at the genesis of kind of this general American civil religion, this general American way of believing about who God is, that we have sort of unintentionally adopted into our lives. That we think of God as that cosmic butler or a divine guidance counselor or a genie in a bottle that is here to meet our needs, make us feel good exclusively, and also then to just meet every whim we might have. But that's not the promise that God ever makes, and that's not the promise that Jesus ever made either. And there's nothing about the way Jesus taught us that helps us to see that God would be that way either. Now, in fact, actually, Jesus teaches us the exact opposite. Jesus says that the rain is going to fall on the just and the unjust alike. Now, Jesus offers this teaching to us, and it's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. And what we need to remember is that Jesus is offering this as a reflection about who God really is, but also it is diving into that debate about how God influences our day-to-day. And what Jesus is saying there is that God does not cause things to happen to people because they're good or bad. God does not cause the rain to fall for the good people. God does not cause the rain to fall on the bad people. Now, that's a metaphor of blessing, because back in the ancient days, they thought that the gods, or we would have said God, is responsible for the rain, And if there was no rain, you were bad, and the drought was a sign that God was mad at you. And if there was abundant rain, or enough rain for your crops, it was a sign that God was happy with you. And if there was a flood, too much rain, that was another sign that God was angry with you. But all of that happened because you either did the right things to get enough rain, or did the wrong things to get not enough or too much rain. And that's how they got this sense of it. But they debated this, and they had this sense all throughout ancient history and even through to the time of Jesus. And as we know, it has crept into today. Now, the sense here is that if we can do the right things, believe the right things, act in the right ways, God will bless us, that we will prosper, and that God will punish the people that do not do those things. And we know that that's just not how it happens. In our day and age, we would reflect on things like people of all kinds of walks of life get cancer. God doesn't cause cancer. God doesn't use cancer to make you a better person or anything like that. There's all kinds of tragedies, diseases, and events of suffering around the world that are not anything God has caused. So God doesn't cause them. God doesn't use them. But what God does do is promise that God will be with us as we go through them. In the midst of Jesus' teaching, particularly on this, he does offer a promise of the way we can change the world. And what he says is we are to love our enemies, that we're to bless those who persecute them. And the combination of the way this comes together in the Gospel of Matthew, where this is recorded, Jesus offers that first teaching. He says to bless those who persecute you, love your enemies, and to do so because the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. Which means that if God provides us unconditional love, regardless of who we are meant to provide unconditional love to those in our lives, regardless of who they are. Now, if we're in a position of weakness or do not have enough agency in our lives, that does not mean we are meant to allow people to trample all over us. If we're in abusive situations, that doesn't mean that we stay there and take it. But what it does mean is that if we have the ability to persevere through these challenges, we are called to do so, and that will transform the world. Some people with more power, some people with more influence need to protect the vulnerable. That's part of loving those people. But for many of us, we have agency and we have authority and autonomy in our lives so that we can live in that way. But to be completely candid, those of us who are a part of our church community or those who are thinking about it or those who are listening to this, we don't really have many real enemies. Now, as Americans, do we have global enemies? Yeah, we do. But like, are they in our daily lives? Not so much. But the reality is, when we think about loving our enemies or blessing those who persecute us, or like persecution for most of us is like mildly disagreeing with us actually about faith or principles, I want us to think about how we can translate that commandment, that call into our lives a little bit more closely. So maybe what it looks like for us is being more patient with those who are impatient with us. Maybe it looks like being more less anxious with those who are anxious with, for, or around us. Because when we do that, we actually channel the love of God that we have for those people. When we look at that and when we are willing to be more patient with those who are impatient with us, when we're willing to persevere with those people who annoy us a little bit, we are actually bringing a little bit of love, a little bit of peace into that situation. And here's the other thing, is if we are willing to be more patient with the impatient, to be less anxious with the anxious, then it might prepare us for the times where we might be in more of a high-stakes situation. Maybe we're gonna feel like we have an opportunity to bring about a change for somebody in their lives that we wouldn't have been able to do if we weren't practicing being more patient and less anxious. And when we do that, we will follow through on the promise that Jesus actually makes, that loving our enemies and blessing those who persecute us actually changes the world. God is not going to change the world because we believe the right things or do the right things, but God will change the world through you and me if we are willing to love those who need to be loved, to bless those who need to be blessed, and to change the course of life for them and to change the course of life for us. So I want us to all be honest with ourselves that there are things that we believe about God that aren't true, that there are things that we believe God has promised that God has never promised. And I want us, each of us, to be willing to let go of those false promises and to embrace the promise that God gives to us actually. first one we want to continue to think about and lift up together is that God is not going to bless you for believing or doing the right things. But God will bless you and will give you opportunity to change the world if you love those who need to be loved and bless those who need to be blessed. That's a promise we can hold on to and one that we should carry forward all the time. Would you please pray with me as we wrap up our time together? God, we thank you that you are faithful to us, and we thank you that you do make promises to us that we could trust. God, help us to trust those promises that are truly trustworthy because you have made them. And help us to let go of those promises that you never made so that we don't try to follow them or believe you'll hold them up. God, we thank you that you do change the world. We thank you that you do change us. But help us remember that you're going to love us no matter what, that you're going to be with us no matter what, and that that's the root of the promise that you give to us always. God, we thank you for all this and more. Amen. Thank you.